The prophet's mantle was not so much an honor, though it had to be an honor to be God's messenger to the people. But the prophet's mantle would be more about, it would be more akin to the responsibility that came wearing that prophet's mantle. Elijah would be one that would be known as one who would wear the prophet's mantle and do the work of a prophet. And it's that mantle that is significant in this last scene regarding his life. You'll remember that in 1 Kings chapter 19, God instructed Elijah to go and anoint Elisha as the prophet who would take his place as the prophet of God. In 1 Kings 19, verse 19, we read about this mantle of Elijah. Notice what it says. So Elijah departed from there and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12th. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. By the way, 12 yoke of oxen would suggest that Elisha's family was very, very wealthy. But you see, he was farming. He had that 12th yoke of oxen, and he was plowing a field when Elijah came by and took that mantle and placed it upon him. And apparently, Elisha understood what this meant, that he was being selected as the prophet that would take Elijah's place after Elijah was gone. Let's talk a little bit more about the mantle. It's not that shelf over a fireplace. It comes from the Latin word for cloak. And some versions, I notice, use that word cloak, this cloak of the prophet. It's a loose garment without sleeves, usually worn over other garments. That's our English word. But the Hebrew word indicates very much the same. A shepherd's cloak or something thrown casually around the shoulders. It would be comparable to a cowboy's poncho, if you remember seeing those. An Indian blanket, a Mexican's serape, or a woman's shawl. Just something thrown about the shoulders. But for Elijah, it was a sign that he was a prophet of God. And probably following Elijah's lead, many prophets made the rough mantle their badge, their identifying mark of being a prophet of God. In fact, Zechariah referred to false prophets who put on a hairy robe, and there's the same Hebrew word for mantle, in order to deceive. But we may think of Elijah's mantle, perhaps something like this picture depicts, this reenactment of his life, a loose garment, probably of animal hair or other rough material thrown about his shoulders. But it was, again, the responsibility that accompanied the wearing of this mantle, the burden, the responsibility of being God's prophet. After Elijah was taken up into heaven in a whirlwind, we read that Elisha took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. So it's in essence, he's accepted that role. He has taken this mantle. In fact, he's going to put it to the test, as we'll see as we read on in 2 Kings chapter 2. But I want to conclude our series on Elijah with this challenge. Let the mantle fall on you. Let the mantle fall on you. I'm not talking about the mantle of being a prophet, but I'm talking about the Christian mantle of accepting not only the honor and the privilege of being a child of God, but also the responsibility of living Christ before the world. These are the days of Elijah, as we sang in that song together. And we need modern day Elijahs and Elishas. I think about Elijah's life, and I've been fascinated with the study of his life and the things that he did, many times all alone, confronting the wicked King Ahab and his wicked wife Jezebel. And how much courage that must have taken after Jezebel had had many prophets of God killed. By God's strength, Elijah appeared before Ahab with some bad news. And again, as we referenced this morning and as we studied together, how he courageously stood alone on Mount Carmel against 450 prophets of Baal. You talk about a minority as far as people were concerned, but a majority because he stood with God. We talked about the schools of the prophets that apparently Elijah was instrumental in instructing those prophets and perhaps gave a farewell to them on this last day of his earthly existence. But all these things Elijah, by God's power, accomplished. Significant progress had been made. Ahab's son Jehoram came to the throne. When he came to the throne, he put away the sacred pillar of Baal, which his father had made. And this didn't ultimately eradicate Baalism from Israel at this point, but it began that process until King Jehu finally was able to do so. But you see, these are the days of Elijah, many similarities. And today, God still needs modern-day Elijahs and Elishas. He still needs his men and women in spiritual Israel, which in the New Testament is called the church. As you think about people who have lived before us, people, Christians, who have helped the church to grow in this area, people that have influenced our lives, aren't you thankful for those who have gone before, who came, who studied the Word of God and learned the truth and taught others and helped build up the church of which we're now a part and reaping the benefits of? But the question remains for you and for me, who will take up the mantle? Who will take up the mantle? Who will continue to carry the torch of truth? And I tell you, folks, there was a visual aid. There has been a visual aid for us the past few Sunday mornings in the center of our aisle. I believe it was 3 weeks ago. Doris England was able to be here. Richard England, Earl Nelson, Trenton Tolan. And I can't remember who had the fifth walker. There were five walkers in this middle aisle. And those walkers, this may be a sermon sometime. That was a sermon right there. Folks that are growing, some of which are growing feeble and are having to rely on that walker. Others that are going through physical therapy and using that walker in order to help them get back to where they want to be. But they thought enough about their commitment and they wanted to be here enough to use that walker to come to worship God with the church that meets here. And what a marvelous, marvelous lesson that is for you and for me. But it reminded me also that with every generation, the torch is being passed. And with every generation, the mantle, if you will, is being passed down. And who is it that's going to grow old in the service of Christ? Who is it? Who among us is going to be those that not too many years from now are going to be coming in using our own walkers and demonstrating to the generation that's coming after us what it means to be a committed child of God? Who will take up the mantle? Who will take up the torch of truth? Who will continue to bear the cross of Christ? Because God needs men and women in spiritual Israel to do the same. We still face in our nation and in our world the worship of many false gods. It may not be Baal, but it may be something like prosperity, power, and possessions. Baal, the worship of Baal, I've read that many would go to the temples of Baal to engage in degrading acts of temple prostitution. Sexual immorality was rampant. And in our world, there is so much of that going on today. Who will take up the mantle and continue to stand for the truth? Who will continue to help people understand how these things are against the will of God? And if we'll just turn back to Him and do His will, then a lot of the heartache and pain and the deterioration of the family will be stopped. God needs men and women, boys and girls, to stand up for Him in His way. We need to be those Elijahs and Elishas. What is it? What kind of men and women can God use? What kind of men and women can God use? I want us to look at Elijah, but also Elisha. As that mantle, Elijah is passing down that mantle, the mantle of a prophet, to Elisha. Observe Elisha's response and allow him to teach us what kind of person God can use. Perhaps you've heard this phrase, ready, willing, and able. We use that phrase to describe individuals who are eager to make a start in some project. Ready, willing, and able. But those three terms, I believe, could apply to a person that God can use in His service. First, God can use someone who is ready to be used by Him. You remember God instructed Elijah, go and anoint Elisha to take your place. And Elijah searched until he found the one whom God told him to appoint. He didn't find him in the rugged country that he himself had come from, the mountains. Elijah was a mountain man. But Elisha was found plowing in a field in the fertile Jordan Valley. He did not find Elisha preaching or studying a scroll. Rather, Elisha, when he saw him from a distance, he saw him plowing with that yoke of oxen, a farmer. 1 Kings 19:19, again, notice that when Elijah found Elisha, as he was plowing with that yoke of oxen, Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him, signifying that he was the next one who would be God's prophet. And again, apparently Elisha knew what this meant, because notice his response. Verse 20. He left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, please let me kiss my father and mother, and then I will follow you. And he said to him, Elijah said to him in response, go back again, for what have I done to you? Elisha's response may remind us of something that happened during Jesus' ministry. There was a would-be disciple that said to him, well, Luke 9:61, we find his words, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. Very similar to what Elisha has said. You remember what Jesus said in response? Luke 9:62, Jesus said to him, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, I believe there's a difference between that would-be disciple and Elisha. How can we know that? Because we read on and see Elisha's response here. Jesus in Luke 9 was addressing disciples, would-be disciples, that he knew were not willing to pay the price for following him. But Elisha was one who was indeed willing to make that commitment. He understood what wearing that mantle meant. He was ready to be the prophet of God. All he wanted to do was go and tell his mother and father goodbye. And so Elijah basically gives him permission to do so. But notice in verse 21 what Elisha does and why this is different than the would-be disciples that Jesus addressed. Elisha turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. What has he done? Basically, he's throwing a celebration, a banquet. It's a farewell banquet. And what is it, the meal that he has prepared, but his means of livelihood? The oxen he's been using to farm, he's basically prepared them for this banquet. He's burning his bridges behind him, so to speak. He's making that commitment, I'm leaving in order to become God's prophet after Elijah. And the scripture says he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. He was willing to be God's man. As God chose Elisha, so God has chosen you, not in the same way. But he's equipped us. He's given to each of us time and talents. And he has equipped us to do a work that no one else can do. And if we would be a servant of God, if we would be His people in the days of Elijah that we experience, we must be willing. The question is not, can God use me? The answer to that is certainly. The question is, are we ready? Are we ready to be used by Him? Ready. Secondly, willing. God can use someone who is willing to prepare himself. I believe we see in Elisha accompanying Elijah during part of his ministry, his days as a prophet. He was preparing Elisha to fulfill that role after Elijah was gone. After Elisha received his commission, he traveled with Elijah, some believe for several years, preparing himself for the work ahead. But notice that the scripture says that he traveled as a servant. He arose and followed Elijah, verse 21, and became his servant. 2 Kings 3:11 says that Elisha poured water on Elijah's hands. That was a menial task. It may remind us of a servant washing a person's feet. When Elijah needed his hands washed, it would be Elisha that would take that jar and pour that water over his hands. He followed Elijah as his servant, but probably even more than a servant, but a friend, an apprentice. But it teaches us, if God is to use us, we also must be willing servants. We've got to take up the towel of service. We've got to be willing to follow in the steps of Jesus. Another song that we sing, "Make me a servant, Lord. Make me like you." If we want to be God's people, we've got to be willing to prepare ourselves, and that means prepare to serve. As Elisha served, he got on-the-job training. In 2 Kings 2, after the sons of the prophets saw the waters of the river part for Elisha, as he took that mantle and struck the waters of the Jordan, they parted. The sons of the prophets proclaimed, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." They knew, they could tell by this miraculous evidence that Elisha now had that same spirit, that same gift, that same power that Elijah had. But actually, as Elisha spent that time with Elijah, no doubt he had partaken of Elijah's spirit, in the sense that he was observing Elijah as he did the work of the prophet. He observed his courage. He observed his high points and his low points. He observed him as they climbed over the mountains, as they did the work of prophets, as they spent long, cold winter nights, probably out in the open. No doubt with that time and association with Elijah, Elisha began to have that spirit of Elijah. In the same way, God has a work for you and me to do. Again, He's given us those talents and abilities to use to His glory. It doesn't mean that the use of them is automatic. We too have to prepare ourselves. We have to grow in order to be used more fully by God. And one of the best ways to do that is to do what Elisha did. Spend as much time as possible with other servants of the Lord. Learn from them. Learn from the older servants of the Lord how they serve, and then follow in their steps. Ready, willing, and thirdly, able. God can use someone who is able to endure to the end. And Elisha seemed to have that quality. Again, as we talked about this morning, on that last day of Elijah's last day on earth, he was obedient to the instruction of God to go from Gilgal to Bethel to Jericho. And each time he'd tell Elijah, "No, don't go with me. You stay behind." But Elisha says, "I'm going." This is a paraphrase. "I'm going wherever you go." 2 Kings 2 verse 8. Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water. This is when they came to the Jordan River. It divided this way and that so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And this is when Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask, what may I do for you before I'm taken away from you?" And here was Elisha's request on this occasion. Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. Some have criticized Elisha for this request. Perhaps he was being selfish, asking for a double portion of Elijah's spirit. I think rather that he was revealing the priorities of his life. You find out what makes what's important to a person at a moment like this. Elisha knew Elijah's about to leave. What can I do for you, Elisha? Give me a double portion of your spirit, he says to Elijah. You see, in the Old Testament times, the oldest son received a double portion of his father's estate. Now, Elijah was not Elisha's father in the physical sense, but perhaps he was in the spiritual sense. He had been a mentor to him, a spiritual father. And so he's asking, as the oldest son spiritually, my father, give me what belongs to me spiritually. Grant to me a double portion of your spirit. Why? Why did he ask for that? Because he knew that there were still hard days in Israel. In fact, matters would get worse. And he observed that courage that Elijah had demonstrated. He knew he needed that same courage, that same resolve, that same fortitude, the same boldness that Elijah had had. And I think that's what he's asking for. I want that. In fact, I want a double portion of that so that I can be God's prophet. That's when Elijah responded, verse 10, "You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so." Verse 11. Then it happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And when the dust settled, Elisha walked over to the spot where Elijah had been taken from him. And Elijah's mantle was there lying on the ground. That mantle, so significant, it represented this work of being a prophet of God. And here he takes up that mantle. And I believe that indicates he's accepting that responsibility. Okay, Elijah, you said I would be the prophet after you. I'm going to take up this mantle and I'm going to do my best. But no doubt he's anxious at this moment. He's wondering, can I do this? Am I really prepared to be God's man in Israel? Verse 13. He took up that mantle that had fallen from him, went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And he does a little test here. He took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck water and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And to me, he's asking, is God still with me? Is God going to be with me as I take up this mantle, as I seek to be his spokesman to try to turn Israel back to him? Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And he took that mantle and struck the water. And when he had struck the water, the scripture says it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. He received divine confirmation that yes, the Lord God of Elijah was still present. And he would be present. He would be there. He would be with. He would empower Elisha to do the work that he wanted him to do. We'll not have time to read forward as Elisha takes the role. But what we see as we study these verses and survey the chapters that follow, I believe we can be impressed with two facts. First one is that Elisha was blessed by having that mantle fall on him. He was able to do many wonderful works by God's power. He was blessed. But secondly, he also received a heavy responsibility by having that mantle fall on him. And it's the same for you and for me today. Who will take up the mantle? Who will follow the previous generation and taking a stand for God and being involved in his work? If we'll take up that mantle of Christianity, It'll mean tremendous blessings for us, eternal blessings. But it also carries with it many responsibilities. Blessings and responsibilities. But it's a special thing to be God's man or woman in Israel. To be such a person, again, we must be ready, willing, and able. Ready to be used by Him. Willing to prepare ourselves. And able to endure to the end. Folks, are you ready, willing, and able? God wants you to be involved in His work. He wants you, first of all, to be a Christian. To be clothed with Christ. To be a child of His. And then He wants us as His children, clothed with Christ, to be an active, courageous voice and presence for Him. To be actively engaged in the work of the Lord. You can be a part of His family. You can be a part of making a difference in this world if we'll just respond as Elisha did and be ready, willing, and able. Do you need to respond to the invitation of Christ? If so, we invite you to do so right now as we stand and sing.